Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Back to the Tennis Connected Studios for August 25th, 2018. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to preview the U.S. Open live from NYC.
Yeah. Parsa. So when you say alongside, well, I'm literally alongside. Once a year, here you go.
Once a year, we'll get a couple podcasts in the same room, which is really fantastic. Instead of the Toronto-NYC connection. So Parsa, here we are. Another year has gone by. Another year, we got NYC. We got US Open starting on Monday. Saturday night here, we're grinding away, giving everybody our preview for the US Open. You were down there today.
Yeah.
You were telling me for the Arthur Ashe Kids that you were down there with your son, hitting some balls, having some fun, watching some of the players. So what were your impressions of the facility before we get into this week's show? We're going to do the women's preview. Men's preview, talk a little bit about our boy Peter Polanski, made some records, Serena, fitness level, you know, some other qualification players, some dark horses, and then wrap it up for this week. So what did you think today?
Yeah, I mean, number one, Arthur Ashe Kids Day is just, it's just a, as my son said, he called it, you know, thank you, Grandpa, for coming to the fair with me, because he thought it was the equivalent of a carnival. It's just so much to do. You can spend literally the whole day there doing all different kinds of things that are all tennis related, which is incredible. But it's become so much more than a tennis event. It's you're there to have an amazing day, to do a variety of things. And the tennis is just this huge plus on top of it. So you get to see drama unfold live, like you're at a Broadway show, except it's tennis and something that we're deeply passionate about and we love, and it's amazing and inspiring to see that our sport is being displayed on such a showcase. And so for that, the USTA gets, which I normally, you know, bash the USTA, they do an amazing job with the US Open. It's really an incredible thing.
And so you were saying you saw Serena hit a little bit today, you saw Team Anderson, you saw Lopez Dimitrov,
yeah.
You saw
Muguruza,
you saw Rubin, you saw Michael Moe.
Yeah.
So overall, anything that you can extract? I mean, you know, like, look, man, we've coached. We know what it's all about. And these players, they come here. They've done the hard work for the most part, unless they've been injured and they're trying to refine their fitness. And this is just about retooling, staying loose, having fun and stuff like that. Except if your name is Rafa Nadal.
Right.
And he just goes full tilt. Could be in his garage, could be here, could be Toronto. I saw everywhere I've seen him, he's just going 100%. So I think, you know, anything you wanted to add there? And you said you were having relatively some difficulties figuring out the speed of the court. You didn't, and it was a pretty hot day here today.
Yeah.
You didn't know if it was super fast, medium. It's definitely not going to be slow by any means.
It's definitely not even medium. It's either just medium fast or fast.
Yeah.
I would probably lean towards medium fast. As you know, Anderson's ball was really going through the court, but then Team's ball was just kind of like powder puff. It was just sitting up there, and
Team's also a little bit, you know, done right now too.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not really,
and he's always done by this point of the year.
He's
just all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, Serena for the real tidbits. I mean, Serena's the most interesting case. I mean, she didn't look very good to me. You know, she'd have a 10-ball rally and then be huffing and puffing, and I mean, she's just not in tennis condition yet. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, either she can't practice as much, or she can't do as much fitness, or something is not right, you know. And I don't know what it is. I'm not there, but all I can do is see what I see. You know, she definitely hits the ball extremely well, but she really can't move that well, and I think that's a big problem.
It's interesting because you have you know, these tournaments and, you know, the promotion for these events are done so in advance. You know, you have, I think she has something with Chase happening where she's like running through this fair and she wanted to buy some stuff, a commercial. She got the Nike Off-White stuff that she's going to promote for this event, Wilson, all this. So a lot of, there's going to be a lot of buzz around her. I believe she's playing Monday night, right?
Yeah.
So I foresee her, we'll get to the draw in a minute or two. I'm pretty sure she'll get through her first match, but I don't know, man. I mean, you know, we're so used to saying Serena's in the draw, Serena's going to win the tournament. Not so sure on this one.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, she's not getting any younger. None of us are. And but, you know, she's going to be there. It's going to be a lot of eyes on her, see what she can do. And rightfully so, she completely deserves it. But I hope she can make at least, you know, second week. That would be fantastic. I'm not quite sure, to be honest with you. Hasn't had the greatest summer, to be honest. I mean, she got destroyed by Konta, San Jose, pulled out of Montreal. She said she was having some personal issues, which I later she came and out and said that some stuff with her, she was remembering some stuff about her sister's murder and stuff like that. So that's completely warranted. And then in Cincy, she won maybe a round, and then she lost second round or third round.
It's like a bit of a
yeah. So it's like second round there. So not really a lot of matches on hard court, man. And it's a surface. It's a tough surface. It's going to be super hot the first week. Albeit she's playing at night. So it's not going to be that physically, you know, demanding on her. So we'll see how that unfolds. But, I mean, it is what it is. And she's still a star attraction. She always will be. And then she's completely deserved that. So moving gears now, we got to get to our boy Peter Polansky. Yep. Canadian guy. I've known him since he was like 14 years old, practicing at the now called Rexall Center in Toronto, Downsview area. Barca, first guy ever to make four straight Grand Slam main draws via a lucky loser position. No guy has, let alone made three, to make now four.
So he's basically got the Golden Slam.
Yeah, in lucky losers.
In lucky loser
Golden and, Slam. You know, and it's interesting because, you know, he's lost in the last round of qualies, Australia, French, Wimbledon, US now. Lost to Donald Young yesterday, but then got in a couple hours later. Now, and they do it out of a hat now. You know what I mean? They take the highest rank. It's not just automatically based on your ranking, which is even more impressive that this has happened. And so he gets in, lost first round of the first three. He's playing Alexander Zverev Tuesday. So that's realistically, I mean, I love the guy. I've known him for a long time, but he's going to probably lose that match. Straight sets. If he plays the match of his life, he might go to four. I will talk about Zverev in a bit because he's got Lendl in his corner. But listen, man, it's over 200 grand. Just for losing first round of all four of his tournaments in a year. So that's going to be a nice chunk of change for him. And he's been, you know, he's on the challenger circuit pretty much predominantly. So it's nice to see him, you know, getting that kind of bank and moving forward with that. And then other stories from the qualification, we had Bouchard losing, I think, only about 9 games throughout 3 matches, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good. Does that mean she's going to do anything in this tournament? No. I think if she wins a match or two, because it's a different level now, right? And I think if she wins a match, I think she should. I mean, if she wins 2 matches for me, I don't even remember the last time she's won 2 matches in a Grand Slam.
You can also remember, though, her talent level is not 130 in the world. That she
no,
has.
She's
so,
not.
So it's like, so, you know, okay, so she stopped the slide. You can safely say that she's not going backwards anymore.
No.
So I think now she's going to start to find what her true ranking is, and her true for me is probably around 40, 35.
For sure.
No
question about it.
You know, but I'm not sure she puts in the work to be a top ranked player. I think maybe she can compete if she works her butt off. You know, maybe she can give top players problems, but she's too easy of a riddle to solve still. And so until she can clean up those holes, if she can ever clean up those holes, I'm not sure much is going to happen for her.
Yeah.
I do think that she can be very, very in tune with her offensive game. And if that's happening like it is now, I think then she has an opportunity to have deep runs, but that's about it.
Okay. And then other than that, I mean, let's jump right into the women's draw. So it's led by reigning French Open winner and top seed Simona Halep. Got a pretty, I would say it's a pretty loaded quarter here. I mean, I'm just going to name off some names here for everybody. We got Halep here. We got Pavlyuchenkova. We got Serena Williams bumped up to the 17th seed. We have Camila Giorgi, who, you know, hits the crap out of the ball. We have Kuznetsova, former winner here, playing against V. Venus Williams, rough draw for both. We got Muguruza, who you said wasn't playing that well today. She's been, you know, struggling with some injuries. And then we have Pliskova, who has had a good tournament here before. She, like, excellent server. Maria Sakkari, who's a grinder. Really like her game personally. We got Lucy Safarova, who's been a top, you know, player before, kind of on the backside of her career. Also French Open finalist in the past. So there's some a lot of good characters and a lot of good players here. But I still think, with all of that said, I know we got Serena here and we got Venus here and we got Muguruza and a bunch of slam winners, Kuznetsova. I'm going to go with Halep. I think she's shown, and that was a good, remember we talked about this in last week's show, why is she playing in Connecticut? But then she withdrew, right? Yeah. And, you know, class by her, showed up at the event, said, listen, you know what? I'm having my ankle flared up a bit. Now, is it true or not? I'm sure to a certain extent it is. Everybody's always playing with something. Could she, if it was her last event of the year, would she have played it?
Probably yeah.
Right? But it's the U.S. Open coming up. And, you know, you win Montreal, finals of Cincy, pretty much almost won Cincy. Why not, you know, put yourself in this position to, you know, give yourself everything you got in the final major of the season? And with that said, rested Darren Cahill, some good mojo. The belief is on the rise. You know, it looks like she's in a good place. For me, it's Simona Halep into the semifinals. How about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I actually couldn't agree more. For me, Halep is the, as we said last week, she's the one that's been the consistent player on the women's tour. You can always expect for her to put in a good fight, to hit the ball well, to be strong strategically. And this is the difference in why she's number one, under control emotionally for the most part.
Yes.
And that's why she's number one in the world. And so I think she's always going to give herself a chance. And she's very, very good. I mean, there's no other way to say it. And she needs to add to her statistics of Grand Slam titles won. So, you know, I think she's the one that's the most motivated. And she's got the most to lose. And I think she's going to uphold her seeding and get to the semi, at least as the one.
Yeah, and I think she's got a lot to lose here, actually, because... Yeah. You know, she wants to kind of stamp herself as, listen, I'm number one, man. I've won two slams this year. I know that there's been some other amazing champions like Serena out there, and she still is. She could still definitely win some majors perhaps in the future. But, you know, this event, NYC, for me, I don't think it's going to be so much about the tennis. I think it's going to be about the pressure, because US Open really magnifies everything. And you know it. You can feel it. New York, super busy, successful, big city, lots of eyes on you. It's just that it's been, and everybody pumps it up, right? Everybody goes all out here. The companies go all out. Everybody's, you know, building up to this the entire season. And I think if she can get past that, stay calm, then she's going to do something here. So now we move on to quarter number two. We got Sloane Stephens, defending champion. Pretty decent draw, I think. I mean, Azarenka potentially in the third round, that could be tough, but I don't know if she's really there yet to do something. We got Strykova, we got Mertens, Georges, who made the semis of Wimby, Rybakova, and then Svitolina, who is still looking to
to
do something in the major, right? Yeah. And I mean, she's, you know, Nike's really starting to get behind her, making her some custom shoes for this event, which were pretty cool. And I think it's going to be, you know, I'm not going to pick her to go deep in this event because of the bandwagon factor that I had earlier in the season, late last year. I just think that it's time for her to do something. I mean, watch out for Donna Vecic. She's been playing some decent ball. Looks like she's enjoying herself. She's coming into her own. Makarova is also dangerous. Heather Watson. Some characters here. I think some players that could do something. But there's got to be a time where Svitolina does something in a major. And you know what? For me, I think it's going to be here. And for that reason, I'm taking her to make the semifinals.
Very good. I think I can't get over one fact. I think that Sloane Stephens had a dreamy run here last year. And I feel like, for that reason, I feel like her draw is so workable that I think she doesn't even have to play that well, and she can still continue to get through it.
Okay.
I don't think it'll be good enough to get through Halep, but that's for another discussion. I'm going to have Sloane Stephens here getting back into a semifinal.
Yeah, and I really like Sloane Stephens. I just like her vibe. I think, you know, she brings a lot to the table. I think, you know, her whole persona and everything that she has, she can really put herself in a position to, in essence, carry women's tennis in terms of an ambassador point of view. Obviously, you need the titles. And if she can get another major or two, she's definitely going to be there, because we've had, you know, champions with around that, you know, mark, like a Sharapova, do the same thing. I think she's marketable. I think she's a really nice girl. And I think she can definitely do the same thing. So we'll see how what the future holds for Sloan. But again, there's pressure, right? And I mean, she's coming back as a defending champion. People are going to ask her about that. But she gives off this really, you know, relaxed vibe. So if she's really like that, then she might be okay here. So we'll see how that unfolds. As we move on to quarter number four, it's led by Angie Kerber, reigning Wimbledon champion. She's got in her sights Sybil Kova, Coco Vandeweghe, who you know is going to want to do something. I believe she made the semis here last year, right? Lost to Madison Keys.
She's struggling.
Yeah, she's struggling big time. We got a good first rounder with Ostapenko facing former top tenner Petkovic, who's obviously a character. Anisimova, who's a youngster from the States, playing another, not really youngster anymore, right? Taylor Townsend. How old is Taylor Townsend now, man? Early 20s?
Yeah, I'd say 22.
22. Yeah, so she's been playing like the ITF circuit, right? Yeah. She's just hovering there. She's doing her thing, not really penetrating the upper echelons of the sport as a lot of people had thought that she would. We have Sharapova playing Parsa. I had to do a double take on this. Patty Schnieder from Switzerland. And you were telling me one of the students that you were coaching, she was playing like 10,000 with her last year with her
kid running around the facility.
And I think she was at the Rexall Center last year playing the challenger at the end of the year that we have there.
Yep.
The ITF event. I'm not sure what the name of it is, but come to me in a minute. She's got Sharapova right off the bat. You gotta think that Mary Maria has gotta win that match, man.
She has to.
Yeah,
win.
She's gotta win. That's like
Marisa, you know, Love has to win matches in this section.
And she's going to do something here, because this is New York. She's been in the city for a while now. She didn't even play Cincy.
Yeah.
She got down here doing the Sharapova stuff. She's going nuts in Manhattan. So let's see. I know she also released some of her new Cortex shoes for Nike. So she got her custom shoes for the event off court. And so it's going to be interesting. We got Caro Garcia as the sixth seed. Nobody's really talking about her. Very workman-like player. You know, works very hard, very professional, but she's got Joanna Konta in her first round. That's going to be a tough match, man. You know, Monica Puig really hasn't done much since winning the Olympics, right? I mean, it's been a little bit of a downer for her. We got Kiki in the next one after that. We got Nicole Gibbs, who again, really strong on social media, not so strong on the court.
Oof. Brutal, Nima.
Yeah. And, but it is what it is, right? But I think for me, I mean, how can you not go with Kerber to make the semis here? I mean, you know, Garcia finds a way to kind of choke, I mean, one way or another, I think, as these majors roll through, even though she's a very talented player, and I really like her, and I think she could do some damage. I mean, Madison Keys is there, hasn't really done much this year, though, Parsa.
It's very hard to pick against Kerber, because...
Yeah.
You know she's in form.
Yeah, that's the key word. Yeah. In form. Yeah.
When she's not in form, you know, all anything can happen, and but that's not the case anymore. She's back to her hunger level.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's playing as well as she used to.
Yeah.
But she's mentally there, and therefore I think that's pretty much a lock in there in the semifinals.
Okay. And as we move on to quarter number four, it's led by Caro Wozniacki playing against Stozer in her first match, former winner here. Although, as we all know, Stozer hasn't really done much in the last few years. But you got to think that she's good for an upset here. If anything, one match, anything can really happen there. Other players in this section are Kvitova playing Wickmeyer. Kvitova, again, has had a very strong year. But how does she do on the courts of New York? Hasn't really had crazy results here, you know. Another blast from the past. Vera Zvonareva.
What's going on here?
It's just a renaissance tournament, man. Like, everybody's
is
coming
back. Protected ranking? I mean,
no. Qualities, man. She qualified, you know?
Good for her.
Yeah. And, you know, she just said she's had a kid. And she goes, you know what? Just love the sport. I'm here. I'm not here for the money. I'm here because I love to compete. I don't care if I'm playing in front of two people. I was watching a Tennis Channel interview that she did. I don't care if I'm playing in front of two people, in front of 5,000 people, 20,000 people in Nash. I just want to play and compete and give everything I got. So, I mean, watch out for her. She could definitely do some damage here. She's got a, you know, decent first round ahead of her. And but I don't know. I mean, we got Osaka, who I thought she was going to do some things, you know, some bigger things this year, but she really hasn't after winning, I believe, IW, right? She won at Indian Wells. So we'll see. And then we have, who else we have here? We have Kiki Bertens, recent Cincinnati winner. Does she carry her momentum here? I think yes.
Possibly.
Why not, right? She's got the Pliskova sister in the first round. So, you know, coming in as the 13th seed, very high seed, definitely going to be some, you know, some pressure on her. And then check out this name. We got Harmony Tan from France playing against Jeannie Bouchard. So, if you know, a wild card, because there's that reciprocal thing that they have with the French Open with the FTT, right? And the FA, whatever it is. The French Tennis Federation against Bouchard was a qualifier. Winnable, definitely winnable match for Bouchard. She's got to win that match, you got to think. So we'll see. I mean, anything is possible here. But for me, I'm going with the inform. I'm going with Kiki Bertens as my semifinalist.
I mean, that's huge. Kiki Bertens. Yeah, I mean, it's a tough section to pick from. I mean, there's the good, the bad, the ugly. I'm going to have to go out on a limb here and say something that no one's going to expect. And so because of that, I have to go with Annette Kontaveit.
Yeah, I like that one.
I think that she she's going to be totally under the radar. She's going to be, no one's going to even know anything. And she's going to be in the third round playing somebody that no one's ever heard of because Wozniak would be gone. So she's going to be in the fourth round playing her first big match, and I think she's going to have enough in the tank to overcome it. And then I think she'll bow out there in the semi.
Okay. And as we move forward now, we're going to just break this down. So I got Halep, Svitolina, Kerber, and Bertens. I'm having Halep defeat Svitolina. I'm having Kerber defeat Kiki. And I have Halep as your 2018 U.S. Open Women's Champion. How about yourself?
Yeah, very good. I have Halep versus Sloane Stephens, which is going to be, you know, interesting in itself, and then Kerber versus Kontaveit. And I'm not sure who's going to win Sloane Stephens and Halep, but I will tell you one thing, that Kerber is going to be in the final. And I think if Kerber's in the final, she's feeling it, and I think she's going to take it. And I don't care who she plays in that final, whether it's Sloane or Simona Halep. If I have to pick someone, I'm going to go with Sloane Stephens to get to the final. And I'm going to have Kerber, your 2019. Wow. That would be a huge prediction.
Futuristic.
2018 U.S. Open champ.
Perfect. And then, Parson, now we're going to give our dark horse picks for the women. Usually, I don't go with the seeded player. But this time, I'm going to higher seed. I'm going to go with Sabalenka, who recently won today, I believe, in Connecticut.
Yeah.
I think she's going to be coming in form. You know, very powerful player, has a very imposing game. And I think that she's going to definitely be able to do some damage here. So watch out for her. Who do you got?
Yeah, and I think my dark horse is going to be Joanna Konta. Although a former top 10 player.
Very good one. I like what you're doing this tournament.
Yeah, and although she ruins my Kerber, because I think she can literally get that far into the quarterfinal. I think Konta's my girl right there.
Okay.
I think she's going to do something.
Definitely has what it takes. It's a question of actually getting it done. It's a
huge first round for her.
Yes.
She gets through that, I think she starts to cruise a little bit.
No question. Okay, Parson, now let's shifting gears to the men's draw. We have defending champion Rafa Nadal coming in, winning in the Rogers Cup, taking off the Cincinnati week. Feeling good. He said he's rested. He's practicing really well. I've seen a lot of video out there. He's just lacing the like playing really, really well. Am I serving well? He's got the whole team in attendance. He's got three coaches out there. And all the, you know, the
and none of them can return his forehand, by the way.
No. Nobody. And it's like, you know, and it's funny, Parsa. You know what challenger's on this week?
What?
The Rafa Nadal challenger.
Really?
In Mallorca. He's got a challenger now at his academy, which is ironic because it's the same week as the U.S. Open first round, first week. He opens up against longtime buddy, former number three, playing in his last Grand Slam, David Ferrer. On paper, this looks good. There's going to be some intensity because you know if Ferrer's 80, if he's 35 as he is right now, 36, he's going to give it everything he's got. Is it enough right now? Absolutely not. But it's going to be, I think, a pretty fun match. I think Nadal's going to smoke him, but it's going to be one to watch nevertheless just because of the intensity level.
Yep.
And I think Rafa gets through that. He's potentially got Pospisil in the next round. Definitely like his chances there. Gilles Muller, maybe, or Khachanov. I think over best of five sets in a hard court, Muller, for me, is more dangerous than Khachanov. It's because of that lefty serve he's got. And I think he's done after this year, too, as I believe.
Really?
Yeah, he's done, too. Yeah, this is his last year. So you know these guys, especially for him, because he's still relatively, with all due respect to Ferrer, he's still got some form.
Yeah.
And I think he's got to be the guy. Although Khachanov, you know, made the quarters, I believe, in Cincy, semis in Toronto. So he's playing well. And he's a strong guy. You know he's not getting tired out there. So it's going to be, for me, his biggest tests here are going to be Khachanov or Muller, Jack Sock. I mean, what can we really say about him? I like the guy. He's a cool guy.
You awesome. You can say if he gets through the first round, that's a win.
Which he hasn't. He's lost in the first round of the last four majors. And Parsa, if he continues this slide, like you said, by the end of this year, he's going to have to qualify for the Australian Open. You know what, man? He might not even get into qualies of the Australian Open because he's... If you get out of the top 200... What's the cutoff for
qualies? 220.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
He will. He's like 180-something right now.
So is that 180? So what happens if he loses first round of Paris that he won last year? And he made the tour finals. He's not making that. Making tour finals.
In the race, I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
He's 180.
So tour, and then they sink, kind of, right?
By the end of the year, they are pretty close.
Yeah, so the tour finals, he's out. 100% he's not making that. So he's lost his... Yeah, so he's lost his semifinal points there. Right. And then... Paris, he won the tournament. That's 1,000 points. So, I mean, he's in trouble, man. Unless he does something crazy before then. Like
he's lucky. He did have a great year last year. So, he'll still has a chance to, you know, put in enough wins that he can be 50.
Because he's getting into all these tournaments. He's got that buffer until the end of the season. Right?
But only 50. You know, he's not going to go out and light it up.
No. We've got Kyle Edmund, who can play some good tennis here, but has been struggling with some bad losses as of late. I think he lost like 1-2 in Winston-Salem this past week. We got Dominic Thiem, who, I mean, you know, he's going to try, but he's just not there right now. I look for him to go out early. We've got Batista Agut, who, you know, is good for some wins. Misha Zverev, you know, we got Fritz. So there's a lot of good guys here. And then we got Kevin Anderson as the fifth seed, you know, finalist of last season, slated to play Nadal in the in the quarters. He's going to have to get through Ryan Harrison, which I think he will. Rublev, last year's quarterfinalist for Chardy. You got Sam Querrey. You know, Parsa, what a match I'm looking forward to seeing on Monday, eh? Denis Shapovalov, 28th seed, versus his best buddy, guy he still does sleepovers with, you know, when they're in Toronto. Felix Auger-Aliassime, qualifier. Won his three rounds convincingly, played really well in the first round. And I mean, they're going to be out
huge for Canadian journalists.
Yeah. And I'm going to be right there for that one. So that's going to be awesome. And so we'll see how that, you know, how that unfolds. And yeah, I mean, you know, let's give it a go, right? I think, you know, after dissecting this, it's some good matches. I think it's going to be fun for the crowd. But I'm going to go with Rafa Nadal, semifinalist.
Very good. Yeah, I'm definitely going for the rematch here of the last year's final in the quarters. And Rafa versus Anderson. I think Anderson's always unspoken for. I watched him practice today. Even the guy is sharp and in form.
Yeah.
Again.
I think tennis of his life.
He's playing tennis of his life. But you can't even say it's the tennis of his life anymore. It's been so consistent. You know, he hasn't really, his level hasn't dipped at all. You know he's going to battle. He's hitting the ball well. It's best of five. He's getting to the quarterfinal here in it. And I'm not going to put it...
Super fit.
I'm not going to put it so light with Rafa. I think that's going to be a five-setter.
It definitely. I could see that.
And I do think Nadal will find a way.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be Rafa in the semi, but...
Because he's more talented at the end of the day.
And I'm going to call it like a 7-5 in the fifth, or even a 7-6 in the fifth.
Luckily, 7-6 in the fifth.
Yeah.
We won't see another Anderson.
Thank God.
26-24, right? All right, so now we get to an interesting quarter led by one Martin Del Potro in his pre-tournament presser, which they held ironically in Armstrong. There's a lot of negative feedback on that, by the way, because of the acoustics. A lot of journalists were in the back. They're coming in from, like, you know, all these far-off countries. They can't even ask any questions. Really can't hear anything, so it wasn't that great. But anyways, Delpo said that there's no secret. This is my favorite tournament of the year. I love this place. Won this tournament in the past, beating Federer back in 2009. He's got Donald Young in the first round. Definitely getting through that one to play potentially Kudla, which he will get through. Andy Murray, unseeded, playing against Duckworth. That could be a third-round encounter.
Duckworth? Andy Murray?
No, I don't think so, man. With all due respect to him, love the guy. You know, he's solid, but I don't know if his fitness is there. That hip, like you said, that's a tough injury, man.
Yeah, the hip is a rough one.
You know, on hard courts, best of five, he's going to be lucky if he gets through Duckworth.
Yeah.
Duckworth's a fit guy, man. He's got no weapons, really, but he's going to keep him out there. And it's a hot day during the day. Probably put him on Armstrong. And, you know, then we've got Verdasco, Lopez, a couple buddies. They've been at each other's weddings. That's the first rounder there. And then led by Dimitrov, Wawrinka. Again? Really? You know, but it is. And then we got Milos, Burlock, Zoomer, who's won three tournaments in the last 12 months. Isner, Parsa. How about John Isner here? How about Stefano Tsitsipas?
I think that's more significant than Isner.
Tsitsipas.
Yeah, because I feel like Isner is one of those things where he did his thing, you know, at Wimbledon and put in his fourth, his effort. And I think that just fatigues him. I still think he's...
It really does.
He's just a big dude.
Yeah, he's a big dude, yeah. So you don't think he's got a deep run in him here, right? He gets through Bradley Klon, though. It was a good story as well, too. Yeah. I thought that Bradley Klon guy was going to be perennial top 50 guy. And really nice, whippy, lefty forehand, fit guy, loves the game. But he had a slew of injuries. He was out for a while, but he's ready to go. Not the guy we got to watch out for here, Parsa, is Nicholas Jerry.
Yep.
Tall Chilean, man. The guy rocks the ball, man. He's got that abbreviated motion, but he just absolutely cracks it. And, you know, watch out for him. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I don't know. I mean, that Dimitrov-Wawrinka match is going to be solid.
Yeah.
Like as a first rounder. And Parsa, you know what? We got Delpo. We got Verdasco. We got Chorich. We got Isner. Tsitsipas. We got all of these guys here. But we got Stan as the unseeded, you know, veteran warrior here. And I just think somehow something's going to happen. He's had a pretty good summer, man. He's had some matches, and he's feeling it now. And he said he's got no doubt he's going to get back to the top of the game. And I think it starts here. And I think it starts with a semifinal run to the U.S. Open for Stan Wawrinka.
It's a great pick. I hope that happens. Yeah. You know, for me, I have to go with the vibes and knowing that the guy, and you're going to know once I say this, the guy who feels the crowd and who's going to be, he's going to be a Houdini in one match where he should have lost, but he's going to find his way. And so you look at his first round, he's going to win because he's just more talented. You look at his second round, he's going to win because he's more talented. You look at his third round, if it's Andy Murray, could be a little bit challenging, but I think he's going to get through it. So then where is that first Houdini match going to come? It could be in the round of 16, maybe against a Tsitsipas. It could be, you know, perhaps in the quarterfinal against Wawrinka. And for that reason, I'm going to take Mr. Juan Martín del Potro into the semifinal. I think that he's the guy and the man to beat. And, you know, I think he's going to do what he needs to do.
Okay. As we move now to quarter number three. This one for me was a little bit challenging. I mean, we got Cilic out there, former winner here, made the semis on a couple of occasions. We got Adrian Mannarino, who, I mean, Tiafoe is going to be a tough first rounder. You know, Tiafoe wants to at least win his first match. He's lost in Isner five sets in the past, and I believe Federer last year five sets. So, you know, I think he's getting through Mannarino, even though Mannarino is one of my favorite guys to watch. We got Cicinato, semifinals at the French, playing. Did Julian Beneteau is still playing tennis?
Yep.
Like, didn't he retire already two times?
I don't know.
Yeah, he just keeps going, that guy, man. We got Tim
Smicek. He can't quit now. Now he's in the middle of everything.
Tim Smicek. We got Struff. Goffin, Schwartzman. I mean, there's some good guys here, right? And then we got Alex Zverev, who's playing my boy Peter Polanski. And then Zverev Parsa has just hired, lo and behold, Yvonne Lendl.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty big news. And so I think that, you know, that's, for me, it's going to be interesting. But I don't know. I think, I mean, can I go against Zverev? Because, I mean, I look at it like Polanski's got to get through. I think he gets through Vesely in the second round, potentially. Krajinovic, I mean, the guy hasn't been playing tennis. He's only the 32 seed because he made the finals of Paris last year. Got basically done zero this year. And then we got Nishikori. You got, I mean, Nishikori maybe.
Yeah, I like Nishikori here.
If his fitness is there. Martiner is a pretty good player. But I think for me, I got to go with Zverev to at least make the semis here, man. I mean, I would be shocked if he's not able to do that.
Yeah, nothing is proven that he can, and that's the issue with him here. You know, he hasn't done it before, so what can he do or can he do? Ultimately, for me, it comes down to a Cilic-Nishikori rematch of the final a couple years back, and I think the same result is going to happen. I still think that, you know, actually, now that I think about it, now that I'm not liking the matchup for Cilic as much, so I was going to pick Cilic for the semifinal, but now I'm going to go Nishikori into the semis. I think this is going to be his awakening again.
Yeah, I think that's, he's a class player,
yeah.
You know, and he's such a, it was a few years ago, I remember on one of the podcasts we were doing, I think it was the World Tour Finals, and we were talking about it, like, he hits the ball earlier than Djokovic, and this one Murray was becoming number one. And you were like, he hits the ball earlier than Novak and Andy. He doesn't have the serve. Now he's fixed the serve. Obviously, not fitness, but staying healthy has always been an issue for him. And I probably will continue to be. But I mean, the guy is mega. I mean, he's right
there.
But
he's healthy as of now.
Yeah. So with that said, then, you know, he's going through for me. So you got Nishikori.
Yeah.
And I got Zverev. So as we get close to wrapping up this week, we got the fourth and final quarter, and there could definitely be some fireworks here because we got Federer versus Nishioka right off the bat, but he could be playing, RF could be playing Kyrgios in the third round. And you know, like Parsa, I put up something on Twitter where I, you know, somebody asked me, so who are your tops, who's your pick for the US, right? So definitely Novak 1, Nadal 2, and then a distant 3 is Federer. And everybody's like, oh, that's very disrespectful to Federer, this and that. Like, how is it disrespectful, man? Look at his record since winning in Rotterdam. He lost to Delpo in Indian Wells. He lost to Kokkinakis first round Miami. Didn't play the clay. Won Stuttgart. He didn't play a guy higher than, I think, 25, 26.
He wasn't playing well there.
Yeah. Didn't play. He almost lost to Perrin Holly. George tuned him in the finals. He lost to Anderson in 5 sets at Wimbledon. Obviously, he's not playing horribly. He's not garbage. I'm just saying he's still 2 in the world. But I mean, is he at a point where I can consider him an outstanding favorite to win his tournament? No. And then he lost to Djokovic. He played terrible, even though he made the finals of Cincy in that match. It was 4-4, but it was not very close. It wasn't a close match, in my opinion. And so that's it, right? Like, so if Kyrgios is dialed in, is he ever dialed in? Not really. And if he gets there, I think he can beat him. But I don't think he's going to get there. I think he's probably going to lose second round. So forget about that. But then you got Djokovic. Djokovic, who does he have? He has Fuchsovic. He's got Troicki. He gets probably through that. Gasquet hasn't really been playing well. I mean, Djokovic got a really excellent draw. I mean, Lucas Pouille has been playing terribly this year. Carreño Busta defending semifinalist points. I don't think, if I look at everybody's draw here, I can't think of a better draw than what Djokovic has. I mean, the only guys who he has to worry about is if somehow Kyrgios gets on fire, which his hip's not going to allow him because he's probably
going to last that long.
He's not going to last. And then if it was first round, it would be different. And he's almost at a point where he's unseeded because he's the 30th seed because he lost all the Cincy points for making the finals last year. Then you have, you know, Federer. I mean, I have to go 100% Djokovic making the semis. I don't think Federer is there. He hasn't won his tournament in 10 years. I would be absolutely shocked if Roger Federer wins the US Open. I'm not saying I would hate it. I would like it, actually.
I would actually cheer for him, yeah. But he's not going to win it.
He's not going
to. Unfortunately, he's not going to win it. Because I'm going to root for him all the way through as a fan, but I'm not. It's just no.
He's not there right now.
No, it's not right now. I think it's just that step slow is.
Yeah.
It shows up in certain spaces, and
you're not beating Djokovic over five sets on a hard court right now. It's impossible. No,
he needs the draw to be decimated. Yeah. He can, just like I was saying on the podcast a couple years ago. He needs to beat one of these top guys. He's not going to beat multiple top guys in best of five format to win a title anymore. That's not going to happen. But if the draw works out in such a way that he doesn't have to play Djokovic somehow, you know, it's feasible that he goes and he plays a guy like, let's say, Nishikori in the semi and kind of tunes him a uniclose semi and then gets to a one-off, you know, him versus Nadal in the final, and he can win that match.
Yeah.
But that's the only way. You know, he needs Novak to be the Novak of 4 months ago, and not the Novak of Wimbledon.
The one losing to Taro Daniel
in
Indian Wells.
Yeah.
Not the one winning Wimbledon and winning
Cincinnati. Which Novak isn't there yet.
He's not even there.
He's not 2013 Novak yet, but
he's good enough to beat Federer at this point.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, for that reason, I have Novak Djokovic here.
Okay, and then, so my final four are Nadal, Wawrinka, Zverev, Djokovic. I have Rafa beating Wawrinka in a good one, probably four. I have Djokovic beating Zverev just because he's there. And then I'm going with Djokovic to win his second straight major and get very close to ending this year number one, believe it or not, which I predicted at the beginning of this year, by the way.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I've got Nadal against Del Potro, and I think that's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I think it's just going to be amazing. I think Nadal's going to be coming off of a five-setter. He's going to play Delpo, and I think that's going to be something like a reverse of a few years back when Delpo won it. I think it's going to be 4-4-4 for Nadal in the semifinal.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to have Djokovic and Nishikori, and I think that's going to be a lot more challenging than most people think.
I think so too.
And I think that's going to be something like 4 in the fifth for Djokovic. And then I'm going to have a Nadal-Djokovic final. I think they're going to be equivalent in health and time spent on the court. And I think this time it's going to be Nadal holding the trophy again. Defending champion going back-to-back in years at the U.S. Open. And the reason being is that there are changes to his game. And he has
playing very well.
He's playing very well. There's a seventh gear now with Nadal.
Wow.
That he never had. And he was always a sixth gear guy. He could always lock you down and get you into the stranglehold. But now he can actually just take the tennis out of your hands. And he can hit that forehand so deep, so hard. It's just so dominant. And he's moving his serve around the court. And he's returning better than he's ever returned in his career. I don't know. I liked Nadal about 2-3 weeks ago after what I saw in Toronto. And I still like him right now. I think the court service is quicker, but it's not so fast like Cincinnati that he can't handle it. And for that reason, I've got Nadal over Djokovic. And I'm going to go with something like, you know, 4 hours, 22 minute, 4-setter.
You know, for me, Parsa, the thing about Rafa, he's a smart guy. He's a very analytical guy, super hardworking, as we've stated numerous occasions. The thing with him, though, is that he knows he's getting older. So even though innately he wants to grind, go behind the baseline, do those open stance, backhand, cross-court winners, and just run all day, he knows he can't do that anymore. He can do it, but he can't just exclusively do that anymore.
Right.
So as a result of that, he stepped in, he's taking the ball earlier, hitting his batter, hitting return winners, and he looks stronger now too. I think he put on a little bit more muscle from what I saw in Toronto. He looks a little bit bulkier. He was going through that slim phase relatively. Yeah. Now it looks like he's bulked up a bit, and he's been playing consistently now for the last few months, healthy. And like I said, I mean, the guy's only lost a couple matches this year.
Yeah.
So it's going to take a whale of an effort.
And one of them was a fluke, wasn't it?
Well, he lost his team.
Injured.
Yeah. Like I said last week, he lost a team in Madrid, which doesn't really count because that's a one-off tournament, which was garbage. Anyways, obsolete. He won the other ones that mattered. And he won the French. He withdrew against Cilic, Australian Open, quarters. Right. And then he had that match against Djokovic
that was
where,
epic, yeah.
absolutely he could have won. Djokovic would 100% say the same thing. No disrespect to Djokovic. I mean, he played an amazing match, completely deserved to win that and the title. But if Nadal wins that title, we could be talking about one of the greatest years ever, because he's the Wimbledon champion with a great chance of winning this tournament now too. And if he wins this tournament, then we're having a really interesting conversation on our wrap-up show, because he's going to have 18 slams, right? 18? Or is it 16?
16.
He's at 16 now.
Yeah. So right? I think he's going to be at 17.
He's at 17?
I believe so.
Yeah. But he's going to have 4 US Opens and 1 Australian Open, 2 Wimbledons. So what is that? It's late, right? The math is coming difficult.
Yeah,
but anyways, the point being,
you're right. He's got 17.
So he's gonna have 18, 4 US Opens, 1 Australian, 2 Wimbledons, and 11 Frenches. And if you're telling me that this guy cannot
seriously 11 Frenches,
yeah, forget about that one. But he's not a clay courter. When you're winning 5 hard court Grand Slams, you're definitely an amazing hard court player. Okay, I don't care. Yes, is he as good as Djokovic? Maybe not. But he's amazing, nevertheless. So, anyways, we'll see how that transpires before we wrap up for this week, Parsa.
What about your dark horse?
Dark horse going Francis Tiafoe. He's never had a win here. Has had a great year. I think he's going to be amazingly hungry to get it. He's playing a guy that I know very, very, very well, because I watch almost all of his matches, in Adrian Mannarino. Mannarino's been a little bit off this year, still working hard. But he's one of those guys where he's not going to overpower you, but he's going to massage the ball around. If Tiafoe takes it to him, he wins that match in 4 sets. If he lets Mannarino do what he wants to do, then, you know, the Frenchman comes through on that one. But anyways, I'm going with Tiafoe as my dark horse. How about yourself?
Yeah, I think it's tough to pick somebody, and so I am going to go with a seed this time.
Okay.
Although I like Alex de Minaur, I just don't think he's ready for it yet. And my seed is going to be Denis Shapovalov. I think, based on what I saw last year from him, I really liked the way he was performing under the energy of New York.
Absolutely.
And I think that he is good for an upset here. And although it potentially makes it very difficult, and maybe he's going to be able to upend Anderson there in the third round match, I think he's the guy here. I think he's the one that's got the it factor.
For sure.
I'd say watch out for him.
Can't say I don't like that pick coming, you know, from Toronto. So we'll see what happens, Parsa. Okay, so everybody, so Parsa and I will be back next week to do our midweek show for the US Open, again, live from New York. In the meantime, if you have any questions for us, hit us up on Twitter or through info@tennisconnected.com. You can also follow Parsa at ParsaSammy on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow myself at Tennis Connected. Make sure to also download this podcast on iTunes. And for anybody looking to get down to the US Open, you still have time. Make sure to hit up Grand Slam Tennis Tours for all your ticket and traveling needs. Parsa, thanks again for being right here with me today.
Awesome, love it.
And everybody out there, thanks for listening. Anybody want to come by and say hi to us during the US Open, just hit us up on Twitter and we'll meet up. And other than that, have a great week and talk soon. We'll be right back.